You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Islam goes on the conquest, ransacks, destroys the old post-Roman Christian world. Okay, it gets less than 30 pages, and in those pages, you're not going to come across the word invasion or conquest.
As soon as we stop addressing sin and guilt, death, as soon as we stop addressing the sacredness of life, we lose our birthright as Christians. And we may be relevant to the moment, but we are certainly irrelevant to God's purpose and plan.
On the divine side, we go, look at those whom Christ has crowned with the stars of martyrdom, one after the other. He has called them and crowned them, and it is a blessed thing.
This is Flo from Idaho. Locked and loaded, Lutheran ladies love listening to the straight shooters at Issues, etc.
The headline in the Salt Lake Tribune, LDS Church wants everyone to stop calling it the LDS Church and to drop the word Mormons, but some members doubt it will happen. The story about President Russell M. Nelson, the living prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, says the Lord has impressed upon my mind the importance of the name he has revealed for his church, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So out are abbreviations like LDS and nicknames like Mormon, and in, well, at least according to their press guidelines, in are referring to the church in more, well, accurate terms in terms of its name, although its official name is something else. I can't remember exactly what it is. We'll be talking about a new Mormon revelation to its living prophet about the terms Mormon and LDS. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, August the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bill McKeever will be our guest for that conversation. After we part ways with Bill, Pastor Mark Wood will join us. We'll talk about a new survey that digs down into why people, when asked about their religious beliefs, put none of the above, the religiously unaffiliated, sometimes just known as the nuns. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us after that for This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll be looking at a sermon preached by vision casting leader Paul Scanlon on the power of imaginary friends. Thought you'd never hear that one? Well, you will near hour two of Issues Etc. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners where we play four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. You listen, and then your vote will decide which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page where we have left space for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about a new Mormon revelation about the terms Mormon and LDS, Bill McKeever. He's a regular guest. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. Author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Todd.
This is kind of an ongoing struggle for the Latter-day Saints, their name. Why do they continue to struggle with it?
Well, I think if you listen to some of the comments made by lay members, they feel that the term Mormon seems to deflect from their real mission. In other words, I've heard Mormons, and I'm just reading it right now on the web, that Mormons think that when you use the term Mormon, that somehow that makes you think that they either worship Mormon or they don't worship Jesus. In other words, they feel that it deflects from who they really are. I think this whole issue is, quite honestly, Todd, really silly. But the problem for Russell M. Nelson, the current president of the church, is he's already gone on record as saying the Lord told him to do this. Now, that makes it very interesting because this isn't the first time the church has tried to do this. Several years ago, it could have been as early as, I think, maybe even 2001, they tried doing something very similar. And yet, even though they were encouraging people not to use that word to describe members of the corporation of the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is their official title, that's their official title, it didn't work. For one, to type out the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you're talking about 47 keystrokes. Who's going to do that? And I'm certainly not going to do that. And when the church states, as I read in an article last night, that they want to be referred to the restored Church of Jesus Christ, do you realize that if we start doing that, we're basically validating not really a name, an official name, but we're validating one of their truth claims, because they believe that they are a restoration of true Christianity as opposed to everyone else who uses the title Christian who was a part of the great apostasy. So I can't see a lot of people following this. You may get some politically correct journalists to go along with it, but there is no way I'm going to be changing my writing style when it comes to this, because it's just ridiculous, really, when you think about it.
So the most recent alleged revelation about how Mormons ought to use their names and their nicknames is but one of several. Where did the name Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where do they claim it came from?
It actually came about in 1838, 8 years after the church was formed. A lot of people don't realize that the original name of the church, when Joseph Smith founded it in 1830, it was known as the Church of Christ. Now, we know today there's a denomination called the Church of Christ, and of course, if they held to that name today, it would be very confusing. But in 1834, the church changed its name to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. The name of Jesus wasn't in it at all. And then in 1838, they changed it again to the current title that they hold now, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so that's really where it came from. And if you read some of the writings, I couldn't really say how many, but I do know of some in particular where the church was criticized by some of its members back in the 19th century when it did make those name changes because they were known by a certain brand. And I think that's interesting because I don't personally think there's anything wrong with Mormons calling themselves Mormons. Now, they'll argue and say, well, yeah, but that was a pejorative that was given to Mormons in the early years. Well, think about it. So was the word Christian, wasn't it? We've learned to live with that. I love that title. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I wear it as a badge of honor. But the point is that Mormons have in the past gone on record saying that they really don't have a problem being called Mormons, including Mormon apostle Dallin Oaks, who at the time he said it was an apostle. Dallin Oaks is now a part of the First Presidency. He's second in line in power in the Mormon church today, right behind Russell M. Nelson. And I pulled out a book that I have on my shelf. It's called LDS Beliefs, A Doctrinal Reference. Some thought when this book came out that it was going to be the replacement for Bruce McConkie's book, Mormon Doctrine. Get the title? Mormon Doctrine. But on page 438 of this book, this is what it says, Todd. Although members have been encouraged by their leaders to speak of the church by its full title, or as the Church of Jesus Christ, and to refer to themselves as Latter-day Saints, we feel no shame or embarrassment in referring to the, listen to this, Mormon Tabernacle, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, or the Mormon Pioneers. In that spirit, Mormonism is that system of revealed religion known also as the restored gospel, the fullness of the gospel, and the everlasting gospel. Mormonism, and this is another word they don't want people using, but according to this article, this essay in this book, Mormonism refers to the doctrines, principles, precepts, beliefs, worship, covenants, ordinances, and way of life taught by the Savior and revealed and expanded upon by modern prophets and apostles. So here in this book, and this book's not that old, they don't seem to have a problem whatsoever. And looking at the initials after this essay, RLM, I'm assuming this is Robert L. Millett, who is a former BYU professor and Mormon apologist. So I just think this is going to cause them all sorts of grief. And I cannot imagine these guidelines really sticking the way Russell M. Nelson wants them to. I just don't.
Didn't they have an ad campaign running between 2013, I think as recent as 2016, titled, I'm a Mormon?
Yeah, I am Mormon. They certainly did. And when this last controversy, the last time I should say this controversy came up, if I recall correctly, around that same time, they also came out with Mormon.org. the website. Now, you've got to understand, if you go to LDS.org, which is the official primary website of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and you type Mormon in the search box, look at the long list of names given to certain entities within the LDS Church, like LDS Services, for instance, and other things like that. They use the words Mormon and LDS, the letters LDS, over and over and over again. Can you imagine the revamping it's going to take just for their website? It's going to be a massive undertaking if it's undertaken at all. But I think what makes this statement by Nelson significant is he said the Lord told him to do this. So if it doesn't stick, this isn't just a policy that didn't work, a temporary policy. This is a revelation from God that didn't work. So I think Nelson really put himself out there in making a statement like that.
So Nelson has made the claim that it's a divine revelation. That's nothing new among Mormons. What's the real reason they want to avoid LDS and Mormon?
Well, I guess I can only go back to what I've heard on the streets and by some samples of what I've read by various Mormon scholars or apologists, I should say. And again, they want to be known as Christian, and not just any type or brand of Christian. They are the only true Christians on the face of the earth. I don't think the Mormon Church is going to be happy until everyone recognizes them as such. Now, of course, there's a lot of us stubborn evangelicals out there that certainly don't want to give them that, because that name is very special to us as well. And so they want very much to have our approval, I think, sometimes, or they want very much to be underneath that tent or underneath that umbrella of Christianity. But the problem for us is the Mormon Church denies or distorts a lot of these basic teachings that have always made Christians what they are. And so to give them that title would really be a slap in our own faces and an admission, in the eyes of the Latter-day Saints, you might say, that we really are part of the great apostasy, because we're recognizing them as, for instance, the restored Church of Jesus Christ, which, of course, they aren't. There's no need for a restored Church of Jesus Christ.
Where did the word Mormon come from? When did that become a common referent?
That came from the book itself. Mormon is a character in the Book of Mormon. There's a small section in the Book of Mormon called Mormon. It comes right before the Book of Ether, and then Ether comes right before the Book of Moroni, which is in the very end of the book. Moroni was the son of Mormon, and it was Mormon who took the records of the Nephite people and abridged them onto the gold plates that were handed off to his son Moroni, who added some more words to the gold plates and then eventually buried these gold plates in the ground and then appears to Joseph Smith centuries later as an angel to tell Joseph Smith where he buried them. So that's where the word comes from. It comes from the Book of Mormon itself. And as I mentioned earlier, it was a pejorative term to the followers of Joseph Smith, that they were Mormons because they held to the Book of Mormon as being an ancient record.
Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about a new Mormon revelation about the terms Mormon and LDS. When we come back, the details of that revelation as it is described on, ironically, MormonNewsroom.org. Stay tuned.
Let's examine the response of our Christian community to the cultural turmoil regarding sexuality and children.
Licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke talking about her presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In 50 years, we've spiked to what is now a cultural crisis from what was a nearly non-existent issue. We can wring our hands, remain unacquainted with the facts, or simply remain silent and avoid the unpleasantries. Biblical sexuality and God's created order aren't polling well these days, while media talking heads gush about the joys and justice of violating natural law.
You can meet and hear Dr. Beverly Yonke making the case for a Christian response to the transgender child at Issues Etc.'s Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Hey, Todd. What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
There's no way to fully understand this story of crisis in the Catholic Church without talking about the role of homosexual networks within the clergy.
They really do truly care more about abortion than actually having the Democratic Party win. And pro-life Democrats, that's not how we feel.
This was not a good faith effort to get someone to bake a cake, to mint a lot to him. He was trolling Jack Phillips. And you know who's trolling Jack Phillips now also? The state of Colorado.
It is a horrendous act of pastoral malpractice to deprive the congregation of the content of the small catechism. It is malpractice. It's malfeasance.
That's just a taste of the four sound bites we'll be playing for you in the last half hour of the program on this Friday afternoon, August the 17th. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, we're talking about a new Mormon revelation about the terms Mormon and LDS. Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, is our guest. Bill, ironically, the news statement that was put out on the website run by the LDS Church, MormonNewsroom.org, and it was guidelines for newsroom style, in essence. This revelation included how to refer to the church in the first reference, whether to refer to the church as simply the church to avoid abbreviations like LDS or the nickname Mormon. That's pretty specific revelation.
Yeah. Can you imagine how long it's going to take if this thing should ever trickle down to the masses within the LDS church? I just don't see it. Now, I've had some Mormons tell me that they don't want to be called Mormon. I have come across Latter-day Saints who have told me that. But I don't find that as being a consistent argument being raised by members of the church. Some find it offensive. Some don't have a problem with it. And if you have a Mormon like Dallin Oaks saying he's not troubled by the title, then why should any other member in the church be troubled by the title? It just sounds silly to me. I think there's far greater issues that the Mormon church needs to be dealing within its own camp than this.
How widespread is the knowledge of that great apostasy that you were talking about among rank-and-file Mormons? Is it basic knowledge that they all ought to possess, or is this one of those things that Mormons may or may not know about their belief system?
I have not come across too many Latter-day Saints who do not know about that doctrine. The degree of this alleged apostasy is where I find many members seem to disagree. The great apostasy, and I just said it in the way that it's listed in many LDS books, or the universal apostasy, as it's also described as, makes it pretty clear that only the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints can be the true Christian church. But when you look at this apostasy, it has to have happened. Otherwise, as Mormon scholars and leaders have said, there would be no need for the LDS Church to exist. If there was not a great apostasy, there would be no need for the Mormon Church. I mean, leaders like B.H. Roberts and even the church manual given to all Mormon missionaries, Preach My Gospel, it says it in there as well. There had to be this complete or great apostasy take place after the death of Jesus and his apostles. Otherwise, there's no need for the Mormon Church to exist, because as they claim in one of the titles they want people to use, they are the restored Church of Jesus Christ. In other words, they believe and practice the way Jesus taught his followers to believe and practice. Now, we don't have any evidence for this, but that's okay for a Latter-day Saint, because that's a whole part of the great apostasy. They expunged all these unique teachings we are led to believe. The great and abominable church somehow got rid of all these plain and precious doctrines that only Mormons currently hold to, and that's why you don't see any record in the New Testament or even the Old Testament or in any other writings, because they've all been expunged. Now, to me, that's one of the greatest conspiracy theories in the world, but many Latter-day Saints actually believe that.
If they're going to be making these massive changes, as you say, that apply to departments, it applies to their published material, their website, all those things, these massive changes that need to be made. If they're going to do it, why don't they just change their name? And they want to be understood as Christian. Why don't they just change their name to the Church of Jesus Christ, or to the Christian Church of Jesus Christ, or something like that?
Well, that's a great question. Boy, that would be a completely new rebranding, I guess. They could do that, but I think they want to keep that Latter-day Saints in there, mainly because they've, at least in the early years, often emphasize that we were, in fact, in the latter days. Now, you don't hear a lot of Mormon leaders talking about in general conference on that subject much anymore, but that's where that long name came from. They believe that Jesus was going to return just about at any time back in the 19th century, and you actually have statements made by Joseph Smith to that effect, but since it didn't happen, I don't hear them talking a lot about that anymore. I can't even recall any Mormon leader getting up in general conference and doing a whole talk emphasizing the imminent return of Christ. I just don't hear that anymore.
So how do you think this goes over with rank and file, not just the bureaucracy and the organization, but with the rank and file Mormons when they hear this from their living prophet, and they're going to have to kind of check themselves constantly?
Well, in reading some of the comments on these articles, such as the Salt Lake Tribune or Deseret News, if you read some of the comments made by members, and I would even say maybe some former members, I read one that says, well, I guess I'm not a Mormon anymore. So some of them are kind of having fun with this, and I think they're having fun with it because I think they agree that it's probably a silly thing for the church to be spending a lot of time on. But then you have others that are writing, and they're in full agreement with what Russell M. Nelson is saying. And that shouldn't surprise us, because the rank and file membership in the LDS Church really has no authority to correct the prophet of the church. He speaks from the top down. And so they are not really supposed to pick and choose what they want to believe coming from the leadership. And so you're going to find a lot of Mormons thinking, this is a great idea. That's our official title. Well, quite honestly, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints isn't really the official title technically. It's the corporation of the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'm not hearing yet, at least, any Mormon saying that they should change the name to that name. at least not using, I should say, at least not using it in a public forum.
Do pronouncements, even ones that claim divine revelation from living prophets of the Mormon Church like this, do they have a way eventually of kind of getting tabled, so to speak, if they're not practically feasible?
That's a great question. I probably need a specific on that, but let's look back in Mormon history, for instance, and on some of the really big issues, like blacks in the priesthood issue or the polygamy issue. Now, when, for instance, Declaration 1, which is an announcement, really, that the church is no longer going to practice plural marriage, even though I'm sure during that time period, the rank and file members were told we better not do this anymore or it could find us in a lot of trouble. This was going on until the Mormon Church really put down the hammer in 1904 with what's called the Second Manifesto. That's when the Mormon Church really started enforcing it. I think you're trying to compare something maybe like that with this. That's a great question, Todd. I really don't know how it's going to be accepted or rejected at this point. It's kind of a mixed bag from what I'm seeing on the web, but I think many Mormons are going to finally realize this is kind of a silly thing.
Well, Prophet Nelson is 93 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine most sitting in the offices thinking about the amount of paperwork this would entail might be saying, let's just kind of drag our feet on this for a couple of years and we might not have to worry about it. I guess that's the nexus
question. That's a great point, Todd. That's a great point. You figure the next guy in line is Dallin Oaks, the same guy that I referenced earlier who said he did not have a problem being called a Mormon. So you raise a very interesting issue. If Russell M. Nelson, who in August turns 94, could it be that this isn't going to be an issue at all in a couple of years and it just might just die from lack of bringing it up? Who knows?
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He is author of several books, including In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, and Mormonism 101. You can find out more about these books and Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thanks.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a new survey on America's religiously unaffiliated, usually called the nuns, because when asked about their religious affiliation, they mark none of the above. The survey will tell us why. Pastor Mark Wood will be our guest.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
When you pray, give us this day our daily bread. What do you mean by daily bread? What do you really need to live? If you've ever puzzled over questions like these, you won't want to miss the August issue of The Lutheran Witness. With articles on downsizing, giving, and yes, what we mean by our daily bread, you're sure to come away with a more biblical view of wealth and poverty, possessions, and generosity. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.